We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
This is Bruce Hall. We're back on my show, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, and I'm proud to have on the show right now Cale Sanderson, the head wrestling coach at Penn State University, Olympic champion in 2004 in Athens. And Cale, I mean, we met earlier this year at a function here in Northern Virginia, and you couldn't have been – you're exactly how I perceived you. You're modest. You're great. You got it going on up at Penn State. We even had one of your kids down at Wade Chalice's camp last year work with us. And I really appreciate what that kid did for us. Real good kid. You're a big kid. You're 97-pounder.
Quentin.
Yeah, Quentin Wright.
Yeah,
he's a stud. He's a stud.
Yeah, well, this is actually his last home match today at 2 o'clock.
Now, you've got Ryder today, right?
Yeah, we're gonna miss him.
You have Ryder?
Yes.
Now, you'll fill it up even against Ryder pretty much, won't you?
Yeah, the tickets have been sold out since – I think before the season started this year. We only seat about 6,500 people in the arena, so it's not a huge place, but it's the atmosphere is it's fantastic.
Well, in a wrestling arena, unless it's the Nationals or something, you really don't want too big of a gym because you want everybody to have a good seat. And that's why I like the old high school gyms for wrestling as opposed to the bigger ones, the bigger field houses, because in the old gyms, you could be in the top row and you're right on top of the mat. And I enjoy that.
Yeah, you're right.
Now I'm a wrestling coach, but I retired as of last weekend. I had four kids that lost their last match before they qualified for states. I went to a school 5 years ago that didn't have a program, and we built a program, and now I've just got to make sure I replace myself. I'm getting too old, Cale. I'm 60. My heavyweight's 285, and he scares me. I can't get my arms around him, and when he lays on me, I can't breathe, so, you know. And I'm not small. I'm probably 2 1/4 now. But, hey, listen, let's talk about the IOC. Let's talk about what happened. I mean, everybody got woke up on Tuesday morning with tweets, emails, the whole nine yards. Now, what a lot of people don't understand about wrestling, if they don't know, and a lot of people do know this, people that know wrestling, families that know wrestlers, that know coaches, we're a pretty tight-knit group. And if you're going to take on a wrestling community by taking their sport away in the Olympics, you're probably going to be in for a fight of some type. Tell me exactly how you found out about it, and what moves you've made since Tuesday to try to get everybody to understand what we need to do.
Well, Bruce, I found out about it the same way you did, just through Twitter and just emails coming through and that's what I woke up to Tuesday morning. And since then, I'm not one of the leaders in this movement. I'm just trying to do what I can. But we're just trying to get the word out there and provide, the addresses and emails of people that, need to hear from wrestling fans, just so they know that, there is a lot of support. Now we're in the process of doing a lot of research and going through the IOC has an evaluation criteria for sports and disciplines that they on their website, and they have just for inclusion in the games, they have 7 different categories, but they have 74 subcategories. So we're just going to go through and talk about come up with a document, because if you really look through these and you research them, you're talking about history and just everything, participation, popularity, TV ratings, everything. If you go through, we can really put a very clear argument together, just a very objective argument, that wrestling does belong in the games. And I really think it is just a matter of, our leadership at the FILA organization really dropping the ball and not doing and staying on top of the game and playing the politics that unfortunately you have to play at that game. But, we can make a very objective argument you know, why wrestling should be in the Olympics, and hopefully, you know, that'll help.
Well, history in itself, I mean, it's amazing how many different people. I put something together for my senior night this year, and it's amazing how many, you know, celebrities and former presidents and congressmen and senators have wrestled in high school and or college. I mean, what's amazing about wrestling to me, now I also coach baseball. I'm one of the few guys you'll ever meet that played baseball and wrestled in college. Okay, it just doesn't happen very often, but that was a long time ago. You know, I was an East Carolina University guy. The thing that is so hard about wrestling is these football players, these basketball players, you know, everybody track, everybody that's ever gone in a wrestling room and tried to work out at one practice understands how hard it is. And the thing that I feel that the IOC is taking away from us, not just the sport in the Olympics, but the dreams of young kids who are good enough to maybe end up in Colorado Springs training for an Olympic. You know, I mean, these kids right now, I mean, if we're talking 2020, a lot of these kids are in high school now or junior high school, right, Cal?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've heard from some of the recruits that we have coming in, you know, their parents are just concerned, you know, what's going on here? And it's just they're shocked, you know, things. Kids that have been dreaming about winning gold medals, because that's really, you want to win an NCAA championship, and that's, you know, the style that they wrestle in high school and college here, folk style. It's not an international style, but, you know, that's obviously a big, big deal. But, you know, the dream is winning a gold medal in the Olympics. That's what, you know, you get to represent your country, and you get to go against the Russians and, you know, everyone else around the world and win a gold medal for your country. That's what it's, you know, that's what it's all about, and that dream. I mean, I knew as a youth I had that dream, and that's something that I pictured and visualized and saw growing up, and it's just scary, you know, to think that our kids don't have that now. You're talking about 300,000 high school wrestlers currently, so you know, over a 10-year. It's just there's a lot of numbers there. I mean, it's easy to do the math, but there's a lot of kids. You know, that's going to, you know, it's not good news. And, you know, I mean, that having a goal and an idea of winning a gold medal, I mean, that keeps you in line and you do well in school and you take, you know, you stay out of trouble and, you know, it gives you something to work for and you know, to not have that, that's a big deal.
Cale, let me ask you a question. Now, this isn't the first time that the sport of wrestling has been up against an opponent. Even my college, we were ranked in the top 15 my junior, senior year at East Carolina. That was a long time before you were even born. I think you were born in 79. You're 33 years old. But you know, we went through a period at East Carolina where our athletic department ran into some money problems. It wasn't Title IX. Now, Title IX, there was a reason for Title IX, and I understand it. But Title IX has pretty much done its job. Yet so many Division I college programs went by the wayside with Title IX. All the Southeast Conference schools, pretty much. Half of the ACC schools. You know, I watch Big Ten wrestling every week because you guys have the best wrestling in the world right now from a standpoint of, you know, your style, folk style. I mean, to watch these guys wrestle, I have all my kids watch it. If they don't, you know, if they don't subscribe, I tell their parents to subscribe to Big Ten Network. You know, do you think that, I mean, the sport itself is growing. I read somewhere where the growth was like 8% this past year or something in high school. New high schools that are being built, they've all got wrestling programs. I mean, this isn't something they can literally drop, is it?
No, wrestling, it's growing, and it doesn't take a whole lot to have a wrestling team. You know, that's part of the beauty, and it's also a sport that, any kid can try, and you know, it takes hard work, you know, to be successful. But anybody can, and it doesn't matter how big you are. I mean, we have 103 is the bottom weight class in high school, 103 pounds, all the way up to, you know, 275. So, you know, you don't. It's more of a work ethic and attitude, and you know, that's going to make you successful in the sport of wrestling. Versus, you know, athletic, you know, just being born a certain size or just wrestling doesn't have those limitations. Obviously, it's a blessing to have athleticism, but it's not going to take you very far. I mean, wrestling's about, you know, it's about mental toughness and endurance, and it is a, you know, it's a physical fitness sport. I mean, it takes great discipline, and it's just a well-rounded sport that, you know, if your kids are wrestling and you put your kids in wrestling, you're going to be very happy that you did, just because, you know, it's going to make them tougher, and it, you know, there's a lot of accountability that they learn when it's a one-on-one sport, and you just can't. It's hard to get that.
Now, listen. You've been at Penn State for 3 years. You're going on your fourth year now, right?
Yep.
Now you've won two national championships at Penn State. Were those the last 2 years in a row?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, and this year you're out for your third straight. You've had a pretty good season. It looked like you bumped heads with a pretty good Iowa team out there earlier
yep.
this year. But when are the NCAA championships so we can make sure we're watching?
Well, you know, and that's another thing, is wrestling's on TV more now than it has ever been. You know, the Big Ten Network has done a fantastic job. But the NCAA championships are in March. They're March 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
Right.
And yes, they will be live on ESPN. I mean, that's something that, you know, 10 years ago, or even when I was in high school, you didn't see the NCAA championship. If you wanted to catch the finals, you know, it was 2 months later you know, at 3 a.m. Now they're live. So, and that doesn't happen if people aren't watching it. So there's more interest now than there's ever been in wrestling. And, you know, it's embarrassing, you know, as a wrestler and a wrestling coach to be in a position where the IOC is dropping our sport. But that's where we are. And not because of the merits of the sport, I think just because of more of the leadership.
Cale, can I get you to hold on for about 3 minutes, and we'll finish up with you when we come back? I'd love to have you for another short segment. Is that possible?
Sure, you got it.
All right, Cale. We'll be right back with Cale Sanderson, the head wrestling coach at Penn State University. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be right back.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. This is Bruce Hall. I'm talking on the line right now to Cale Sanderson, head wrestling coach at Penn State University. Cale, I'm going to talk a little bit about you, because believe it or not, there's probably a couple of people listening to the radio up in New York and Connecticut and New Jersey that might not know exactly who you are, but they will as soon as I get done. I was at the NCAA's your senior year. And I was lucky enough, a friend of mine at the time got me a pass down on the mat, and I had a camera in my hand. And I got to take pictures of every final match. I was actually a runner, but I had a camera for the matches. And I got to tell you something, that was awful exciting. Now, there weren't that many matches that you had were that close, but you were going for an NCAA record 159 straight, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. You would have been to win that last match your senior year, and I'll never forget it. You actually busted your lip open a little bit. I couldn't believe it. You were bleeding. you were actually mortal. But I got to tell you something. You know, to this day, I use film of you to show kids where they need to ride when they're on top, because I love the way you control hips and all that. But the thing I love about what you did, you won four NCAA titles. Now, my hero, and he's only a couple years older than me, was Dan Gable. And Dan Gable won, you know, two NCAA championships, because you weren't allowed to wrestle your freshman year back then in 1970, I guess it was. And then after that, Dan lost his final match against Larry Owings from the University of Washington. And he actually had a fever of 103, and he went out on the mat anyway and lost a tough match. That's not taking anything away from Owings. You went undefeated in college. It was a big deal. It was on network television. I'll never forget. I want to say it was ABC or CBS had you on, and we don't get that a lot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we get it at ESPN. When I say we, I'm talking about wrestling. We get it for the NCAAs. Big Ten Network is just unreal. Like you said before, it is so good to have be able to see different Big Ten matches every week. But you won four straight years in college, and then you decided the Olympics were in 2004, and I can't remember if you were already coaching then. You must have been. You were at Iowa State, correct?
Well, I wasn't coaching. I was on staff as like a special assistant to the AD, basically. So I was assigned work as the athletic director, saw fit. But no, I wasn't actually a coach at that time.
But you were training yep. for the Olympics, and you went to Greece, went to Athens, and you won a gold medal. I mean, does it get any better than that? I mean, can you imagine anything? Is winning an NCAA championship with a bunch of guys that are jumping all over you, is that comparable to that? It's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's different. I think it's, winning four is, for me, the feeling of, winning that fourth was very similar to winning a gold medal because they were both, major goals and dreams. And very, big feelings of peace is, I think, the best description. You just kind of, you accomplish your goal of, lifelong goal, and, it's a pretty good feeling, no doubt.
Now, you ended up you ended up getting the head job at Iowa State. Bobby Douglas, I guess, went into retirement. And, he was a great coach, and he was your coach for 4 years. And when you ended up taking the job at Penn State University, how did that happen for you? Obviously I could see Penn State wanting you, but, to move from Big 12 to Big 10, it was a move up in a way, wasn't it?
In the wrestling world, it wasn't seen as a move up just because Iowa State has a very strong history, and I'm very proud to be a part of that. I wasn't real happy where I was, and I just thought, man, if I'm ever going to make a move, I mean, Penn State would be the one school that I would consider just because of their history and of high school wrestling, and it's a big school with a lot of support. And so I investigated it, and I kind of just realized that it was the right thing to do, and so I went with it. It was very, very difficult, but I know it was the right thing, so I'm very happy with that decision.
Now, the thing that I like the most about you being at Penn State is you're like 4 hours from my home. And you actually have a stay-away camp, too, and we're looking at coming up there for your team camp this summer. I've retired, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to make these kids go to camp. Cale, I can't thank you enough for coming on. Let me just ask you a couple of questions also about coaching. What age do you think kids are the best? I mean, we have kids in our federation around here in Northern Virginia, Metropolitan D.C., and Maryland that start as early as 5 or 6 years old. And then we have kids, that wait. My son started when he was 11. We went to the World Cup at George Mason University, probably about the time that you were getting out of college, and it was Iran, Russia, the United States, and Cuba. And I want to say there were like 6-7 world champions wrestling together in that competition. I took my son. We went 2 days. And on the last day, we walk out, and he tugs my arm. He goes, "Daddy, I want to do that." And I'm like, "Davis, that's not like soccer or baseball or anything. You're going to get your butt kicked every day for a little while. You might even feel like crying. But if you'll do it and not quit, I'll start coaching again." And that's when I got back into coaching. And my son went to a pretty high level, although he's playing baseball in college now because he's got a really good arm. But I got to tell you, what you said earlier about what the good thing about the kids, let me tell you something. Any kid that's ever gone through an entire season with me, I know I'm on a first-name basis. They always call when they grow up. They come by the room. You know what I'm talking about. You can trust that kid with anything. You can leave your kids with him. You can ask him to do things you wouldn't ask anybody else to do because you can rely on him. That is the self-discipline I think that wrestling provides that none of the other team sports do. What do you think about that?
Just about the what makes wrestling great? Is that the question? Or
Yeah, I mean, you know, what is it that separates it? Is it the fact that these kids work so hard? And what, I can't remember who said it. It might have been Dan Gable. He said, once you've wrestled, you can do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, the only thing more true than that is would be once you coach, you can do anything.
Oh, God.
You know, coaching is a lot harder than competing, I believe, because, you know, you're in managing several – or not managing, that's probably not the right word, but trying to help several kids that come from different backgrounds and have different realities. But, yeah, I think wrestling, I mean, there's something about it. It just builds confidence. Even if you're, you know, not winning matches, it's a confidence booster. And I would agree. I mean, the kids that I went to high school with and grew up wrestling with, I could see them tomorrow, and it would be like, you know, we hadn't been away from each other for a day. I mean, we just, you know, we're very – you know, you just build great relationships, whereas I love football, and that's probably what I miss more about high school than anything else was just football.
You love
but,
my
you know,
show,
it's not,
then.
It's not the same.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're absolutely right. In football, you can hide certain guys that aren't great players if you surround them with people that can do their job maybe a little bit better. The thing that I'm amazed about with wrestling is – and I remember, look, when I wrestled in college, I was 16 when I went to college. I ended up walking on, making a team. I won the conference twice. The thing about it was is that people asked me, they says, well, do you remember all these wins? You know, it's like over 100 wins. I said, you know, I don't remember many of the wins. I just remember all the losses. Because you actually learn, Cale, from losing. That's what I tell kids, especially the kids that lose. You know, I said, look, you know, don't worry about it. We're just going to use this as a learning experience. Life is like that, too. Wrestling, to me, mirrors life, maybe more than any other sport there is. And that's why hey, – now, listen, do you, is there anywhere or is there a petition these people can sign and help support wrestling? Or it's probably all over the Internet anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I would have to look, but there are several petitions, and, you know, there's Facebook accounts and Twitter accounts to save Olympic wrestling, and it's, you know, had a, you know, an unbelievable response. So if and I think the other thing too is just the integrity of the games. You're talking about, you know, one of the ancient sports, you know, one of the beginning sports of mankind, a history that's a part of the history of mankind, and you know, you can have 15 board members with no set criteria or any accountability vote a sport out of the Olympics. That's just not right. You know, that's not what sports are about. That's not what the Olympics are about. I mean, the Olympic motto is, and the creed is about sportsmanship, you know, and you expect that the leaders would, you know, sportsmanship is fair play, and that's being honest and open. And, you know, if there's certain things, yeah, tell us. But you know, even if you're a sports fan, I mean, it just kind of gives you the idea, well, there's not anything that's really safe. And you know, especially when, the, you know, the IOC has had hints of corruption in the past of, you know, taking bids taking gifts and different things. So, you know, you got to be open and honest. And you know, I think when 12 people making decisions that affect 7 billion people's Olympic Games, it's, you know, there needs to be some accountability.
Well, I tell you what, Cale, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show this week and talking to us about this. Listen, good luck against Ryder. I'm going to be in touch, Cale, because I'm going to be coming up there. Definitely. I think you got one other home match after this, don't you?
Actually, this is it.
This is your last one? Is it senior day?
Yeah, last one. Senior night.
Is
senior
it really?
Day, yep.
All right, Cale. Cale Sanderson, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Cale, so much.
Yep, thanks, Bruce, and thanks, everybody.
You got it, buddy. Cale Sanderson, four-time NCAA champ, Olympic champion, great coach at Penn State University, getting ready to take on his last home foe, Rider University, at home tonight. And it's senior night. If you're anywhere near Happy Valley, get your butt up there and watch it. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS for the first time in generations. The dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce. We'll be back in a minute.
Over at Johnny's place. Well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't want to know, forget her.